This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. Streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Let's talk a little Nationals with their president GM, Mike Rizzo, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Junkies. How are you?
Good. Mike, hey, before we get into the team, kind of want your perspective on the whole building a new stadium deal. Now, you weren't with the organization, I guess, at the, you know, the infancy of the idea of building, but I think you were with the team when they played at RFK and then when they opened Nationals Park, and you've definitely been here to witness the transformation of this area. What would you say about a stadium coming to DC and the RFK site?
Yeah, I think that I was here when we broke ground with the stadium and when those discussions were happening. I got here in July of 06. So,
oh, okay.
I was around there. I had an office in RFK, and then we transitioned to the new ballpark. And I think it's, you know, my opinion is, you know, these stadiums are a vital part of look what it did to the Navy Yard neighborhood. I mean, I lived there at the beginning when the ballpark just got there.
Wow.
And to see where it was at the beginning and what it is now is just a testament to what these stadiums and ballparks can do for a community.
Yeah. I mean, we've been here for 7 or 8 years and I always say, hey, I used to be able to see the Capitol building from here, but they've just put up high rise after high rise after high rise and all these restaurants and bars that have come in the last 7 or 8 years is pretty amazing.
There's no question about it. When I first moved into the neighborhood, it was a barren place. There was a handful of sprinkled in a restaurant or two and a bar or two, and now it's one of the most vibrant action-packed neighborhoods in all of DC.
All right, so let's get to the field of play. Tough loss yesterday, blown save from Kyle Finnegan. But we're just continuing to marvel at James Wood week in and week out.
Dylan
has come around, but James Wood has just been just crushing the ball.
Yeah, he's in a pretty good place right now. I think that, after a kind of an inconsistent start for him, Darnell and Chris Johnson have got him in a good place. And, he feels confident. And, he's going to be, if he's not already, one of the most dynamic players in the league. And, when you look at the kind of the emergence since CJ came back, and you got Wood and you got Cruz and Louis starting to heat up a little bit offensively. It's a fun young offense to watch, and day in and day out, and with offense comes comes ebbs and flows, and I think that these guys are getting more consistent. They're getting more into their routines, and I think you can see, the fruits of their labor of all the hard work they put in with our hitting people, and just starting to carve out a little niche for themselves, in the game.
And having CJ back up at the top, especially last night with the four hits, I mean, he just did some serious damage. But we talked about it last week, and he came back from his rehab, you said, yeah, we need him at the top. And last night, man, he was really good.
Yeah, it gives you another dynamic bat in the lineup. That plays a premium position. So, he's an important cog to the lineup, and he kind of makes us go at the top of the lineup, gives us a burst of energy every time he plays. And, he's an important part of this ball club.
Mike, I was there. Unfortunately, I was there that second game against the Mets, right?
Saturday,
where we lost a tough one, 2-0. But I was right there in those great seats that we have right behind home plate. And again, every time I see it in person, I'm particularly struck by just James Wood and just how calm he is. I've never seen anything like. I thought Ryan Zimmerman was pretty darn calm, cool, and collected. Is have you ever seen anybody as just
chill,
and I don't mean this with any negative connotation. I mean, obviously, the moment's not too big for him ever, and he rises to the occasion, so there's no negative connotation to it. But I've never seen anybody as calm, cool, and unfazed as Wood. I've never seen it.
Yeah, he's a cool customer. He's not overhyped by a lot of situations. He's kind of that's his persona and his personality. And you look back at some of those low heartbeat guys, like we talked about, you mentioned Zim, which I think is right on.
Right.
Anthony Rendon had that type of a capability, and Woody is he's right there on that list. And for such a low key guy, he lets his bat do a lot of the talking because he doesn't say a word.
No, and I don't mean to belabor it. I'm sorry. But I'm watching him in the on-deck circle, right? And then it's his turn to – he walks the plate even slowly. Like, he is in no rush, and yet, he's this fierce, opponent, this fierce hitter at the plate,
He's got a calm demeanor.
Second to nobody.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's just going to do things at his pace. And
he's a lot like his dad. His dad, Kenny.
His dad was like that?
He's very chill like that, too, yeah.
Yeah.
But when he was on the basketball court, he was beast.
Fierce. Right, he wants to kill you.
So Mike, last night, McKenzie got off to a rough start. He settled down and he gave up the two bombs, but he settled in and was really throwing the ball well through six. And then you guys had a great opportunity in the eighth, top of the eighth. You loaded the bases, nobody out, but Alvarado got three straight Ks. But then you guys took advantage of it in the ninth, scoring the four, and Nate Lowe hitting that bomb. It was huge. How were you feeling there late before the bottom of the ninth?
Yeah, squandered opportunities. You always want to tack on a run or two in that situation. But Alvarado's a strikeout guy. He's got when he harnesses it, he's as tough to hit as anybody. So you tip your cap to him, and you need to tack on a run or two there, and the guys know it, nobody's grinding harder than those guys were at the bat to knock in a run or two. And then a big fly by Nathaniel puts us on top, and you're feeling pretty good about your situation. I love seeing Finnegan on the mound in the ninth inning because that means we have a chance to win that game. And I felt the same way last night, and we just didn't get it done. And that's part of the world of closers, and you see it not only with Finney every so often, but with a lot of closers in baseball. It's a tough job. That 27th out is a different out. We've always said that, and my thought and my hope is that that he's pitching in the ninth inning again, because that means we're winning in the ninth and got a chance to win.
Yeah, and he stepped up at the end of the in the post game when he was asked, but he goes, "Dude, I didn't get it done." But that kind of stuff happens. I think he'll be much better in the next opportunity.
Well, sure, he's 9 out of 11 this year, and standing out there with the game on the line is what he does for a living, and it's a very risk reward type of occupation, and you're the hero or the goat, and he's the hero much more than he's the goat. So ninth inning, game on the line, with Finnegan on the mound, I feel good about our chances to win.
Mike, I think I know this answer because we have the privilege of kind of sitting there with for a game or two with you in the box, and I know how you are so intense during games, and you freaking hate you hate balls and you hate walks and it's kind of funny that you get so intense as the team is getting closer and closer to your vision of what this is going to be, right? A competitive team again for another decade plus. Are these losses, do they affect you more now than they did, say, 2 years ago? Or are you still this? I would bet you're still the same guy, regardless.
Yeah, they don't affect me any more or any less. You know, they're gut wrenching. When you lose, you get walked off in the ninth. It's never good. But you got to rinse that off and come back and beat a really tough Phillies team again tonight. So you have to have a short memory. But it makes for a restless night of sleep, but you come back to the ballpark and feel rejuvenated, and every day is a new day. But it stings the same way when you're winning 98 games or when you're winning 58 games. Those kind of losses sting the same way, it's part of the process. But nobody enjoys getting walked off, especially in Philadelphia.
Right.
Talking to Mike Rizzo, President GM of the Washington Nationals. So I was reading about one of your prospects in AA who's crushing it right now. Can you fill me in on Dalen Lyle?
Yeah, Dalen, you saw a glimpse of him in spring training. He's a really good, left-handed hitting outfielder for us. We just promoted him to AAA, I think, yesterday or today. We're doing that. So, he's on his way. He's a guy who got sidetracked early in his minor league career. The year we drafted him, he had Tommy John surgery. So he got set back almost a full season of regression of his development. But he's coming on like gangbusters. He's a tough kid that swings a bat. He's got some tools. He runs and plays the outfield. And we think the power's going to come. But he can really hit left-handed bat and earn a trip to AAA, and a guy that's certainly on our radar. And that AAA outfield is a prospect outfield with Pinckney and Hassel and now Dalen Lyle, and it's a good group of young upside type of outfielders.
Mike, also saw that Cade Cavalli gets to AAA. Can you give us an update on his progress?
Yeah, Cade had another rehab start. One of his progression to return to the big leagues. Felt a little fatigued in the second inning. He was touching 98, so his velocity was good. His stuff was good. Felt a little fatigued, so Matty Lecroy shut him down, obviously in abundance of caution, because whenever one of those type of rehab pitchers says anything that's out of the ordinary, we just pull the plug. We'll see where he's at today when he gets with the team, and we'll continue his progression and his rehab to get him ready to pitch for us in the big league soon.
So we kind of touched on Dylan Cruz. You want to kind of just talk about him and what you're seeing over the last 2 weeks. In the last 11 games, he's improved his batting average by 80 points. A tough night last night because you're going against Wheeler, but he's been really good since April 17th.
Yeah, he's a good player. It's just we try to keep him on the straight and narrow. When you're new into the league and you're struggling, it's all about keeping your confidence level up. And he's never had a problem with confidence. You're talking about guys won a College World Series and the Golden Spikes Award and every other hardware you can in college, and then comes and he's the type of player he takes a bit to adjust to each level that he's been at with us, and this was no different. Obviously, this is the stress level and the ability level of the pitchers he's facing is increased, but I think his approach and his mindset is the same, and he just just needed to relax. And I know they made a few small tweaks with his setup at the plate, and I think that you're seeing some good results from the group getting together with Dylan and making a few adjustments mentally and mechanically and just letting him go out there and show the ability that he has. He's a good player. He's going to be a good player. He knows it. We know it. The league knows it. So it's just a matter of time before he really figures it out, gets consistent with his approach and starts taking off. So it's good to see that he's had a little success. Before also, I remember we talked about, he was barreling up the ball pretty good, hitting the ball hard, mm-hmm. just kind of, at some people. So I think, every so often you get a broken bat hit, doesn't hurt, and, kind of sets you on your way to some further success.
Real quick, Mike, I've always just kind of taken an interest in Jackson Rutledge since you drafted him, because I remember just, being struck by how big it was. Now you see it more and more often, right? All these big guys. But I was like, man, that guy's a big dude. What a beast this guy could be. And he's had some trials and tribulations, but he's getting there. I know when the game I was at, he came in relief. I should know this. I'm looking at, is that a role that he might potentially fill for you guys? Or do you still see him as a starter? Am I behind the curve on this?
Not behind the curve. He's been a starter for us, throughout right. his minor league career. But this spring training, we kind of morphed him into a relief role. We thought that better suited his skill set and his stuff. And he's really adapted well to the bullpen. And as he learns, he gets more comfortable in the role and the preparation that it takes to pitch multiple days in a row. He's used to pitching once every 5 or 6 days in the minor league, so he has to get prepare his body and his repertoire to to simplify a few things on the mound and to pitch multiple days in a row. I think he's doing a good job of it. It's something that it takes a little practice to do, but I think he's taken to it well. I think his arm action and his delivery and his stuff are conducive to that, and I think that he was very receptive of the change, and it was something that we felt that would benefit him, get him to the big leagues, and for us, because he was a guy that could really help us out of the pen.
Right.
Great stuff as always, Mike. It's Mike Rizzo, present GM of the Nationals, brought to you by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Talk to you next week, Mike.
Thank you, buddy.
See you guys.
Yep. Thank you, Mike.
Coming up next, we'll open up EB's entertainment page. Don't go anywhere. Going to put up our Surfside poll of the day. We love Surfside. Surfside iced tea and vodka, Surfside lemonade and vodka. They're fantastic. The perfect addition to any gathering. Each can, only 100 calories. Zero carbonation for easy sipping. You can find Surfside at your local bars and convenient variety 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. You can vote at Junks Radio. Do the Capitals close out their series 4-1 with a win tonight?
Not sure about that, but I am sure that I will have a Surfside during the game tonight. I will commit to that. I can make that commitment while I'm watching. Valdez, the comfort.
You want to talk about your Surfside haul that you mentioned the other day?
I mentioned to Bobby Blicky, that next week, Sunday, is the start of our annual Gentleman's Cup, Gents Cup. Mm. 32 guys.
Yeah.
One golf course, Ryder Cup style. And I asked Bobby, I said, hey, you want to be the unofficial sponsor of Gents Cup this year?
Okay.
He said, hell yeah.
He said, I'd love to.
He said, 100%.
Yeah, so the guys will be pounding Surfsides for all week next week.
Very good.
I still can't believe you can get 32 guys, and I assume a lot of those guys are married with kids.
Oh, yeah.
That you can get 32 guys on the same date for a week.
It's years of planning.
I guess.
Months of planning.
You love planning.
We have a hard time getting like 10 guys together around Christmas time. We really do.
I have a hard time getting four guys just for a random Thursday.
This is the highlight of everyone's year.
Half the year, you have a hard time having four guys here.
I know.
It's
difficult.
Not a hard time. It's a beautiful time away.
So Surfside is going to be the sponsor.
Coming up big.
Yeah, Bobby asked, what's the closest total wine? And so I think he's going to put an order in there.
Beautiful.
And then taking it up to Pennsylvania.
Can you ask him what's the progress on my golf bag, my Surfside golf bag?
Yeah, I'll check in.
No, I'm being serious.
I'll check in.
He actually said that he was working on that.
Very good.
I'll check in.
He sent me another one of those emails or texts, I can't remember, with like the graph of everything that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
They're just crushing it.
Destroying. Oh, yeah.
They are killing it.
Good for them.
I got to thank the good people real quick. Pupatella had dinner there last night in Leesburg.
Yeah.
And they've got that garage door right there at the bar.
Yeah.
Sat outside.
Do they all have this? All of these Pupatellas have this? It must be a feature.
Yeah. I know the one at Chantilly does.
Yeah.
It's perfect. One in Columbia does.
Yeah.
I mean, we were right in the sun. So it was a little warm, but it was breezy, so it was perfect.
Yeah,
it's so the
time of year.
So I was got to think we had a great pizza there and a couple glasses of vino.
Very good. Love that.
All right, you want me to tell you what's going on in the world of Hollywood and entertainment?
Please.
Let's do it.
Entertainment page, of course, driven by BMW of Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get your butt over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for Miriam. She's the general manager. She'll set you up with an amazing sales assistant. And then if you want it before you even get out there, check out all their inventory. You could do that at BMWFairfax.com. Love them. All right, I'm going to lead this off. It's sports related, but it's TMZ, one of the lead stories. John Elway involved in a tragic accident. I don't know if you guys have seen this.
Ooh, terrible, off a golf cart, right?
He was driving the golf cart. They can now confirm that it had his agent apparently on the back of it.
I heard about this.
And the agent fell off. It sounds like the agent probably jumped on the back of it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you'll do that. Maybe there are a couple guys in a cart. You jump on the back just to go to your ball. And he fell off it and hit his head on the pavement. And I believe the reports were 2-3 days ago. He's on life support and there's pretty much...
Oh, man.
It's pretty much over.
Jeff, that's awful. Jeff Spurbeck?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard pretty about that.
Pretty much awful.
That's pretty terrible.
Pretty much over.
So bad.
And if you're John, even though you did nothing wrong, you know you're going to feel tremendous guilt. It's one of your best friends. It's your agent, your buddy.
Man.
I mean, how awful would you feel? You know, like in the spirit of it, there's no ill intent. Even if they were goofing around.
You'd feel guilt, of course.
Yes. It's just awful. It's just an awful, awful deal.
So he jumped.
You've probably all done it. I've done it.
Everyone's done it to play golf. They say he's on the back of the cart. Well, that means the back of the cart. It was one of those deals where you just jump on, and you're driving to your ball, and he goes, "Hey, hop on, I'll drive you."
Yeah, you don't think anything bad's gonna happen, like.
And then he falls off on. Now they
Elway just took off probably before he was holding on to
something. Yeah.
They say that earlier in the day. See, they were probably hammered. They were at some concert or something earlier in the day, or they were at something.
Yeah, they were at the Stagecoach.
Stagecoach Music Festival earlier in the day, so they're probably just kind of enjoying themselves all day long.
Was John Elway the driver of the cart?
Or he was the driver.
He was definitely the driver.
Yeah, it's just brutal. Well, just something awful. So you know, thoughts and prayers, you know, to that family. That's just terrible. There's a possible new Diddy defense, JP. I'm gonna give you. I rarely give you the benefit of the doubt, but I will on legal issues. I will give you the benefit of the doubt on this. They're saying that the defense may try to use a diminished capacity defense, but they're basing it on being under the influence of drugs and alcohol. Now, my understanding is that's never a defense. Like, you can't say, I did that, but I was under the drugs. You know, you can't convict me because I was drunk. No, I don't understand that defense.
Maybe it's a mitigating circumstance. I don't think it would alleviate you of all responsibility.
His defense team, according to this report, wants to have a psychiatrist testify that Diddy lacked the mental capacity to commit the crimes. But they're saying he lacked the mental capacity because he was under the influence of drugs and alcohol.
That seems to be a grasper.
Grasper. That means he's got nothing.
Right.
Yeah, that is a flimsy defense.
He's got nothing.
Yeah.
They got him. by the Bozak.
Dead to rights.
Dead to rights.
He's been in there for a while, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So stay tuned on that. Valdez, I thought of you the other day. Are you, and especially when I saw this, are you still all in on The Voice, or are you out after the chair turn bit's over?
This is Matt Valdez.
Because they're now down to eliminations. I think they're down to their final dozen.
I know they're whittling down. I'm still intrigued. I just haven't watched lately.
You haven't late. Are you recording?
Yeah, I have them all DVR'd and everything.
DVR'd and all that? Okay. He got, just curious, he gave me this story, and I think I can actually read some of this. So, apparently, this is a wild story. There is a woman who looks like, I don't know if she's a paramedic or nurse. I don't know what she is. But
I think she's a nurse.
Okay. She was caught by her husband. I've read so many of these stories this morning. I don't know if this is the exact. I think this is the one. She was caught by her husband with her 15-year-old stepson, naked on the couch, engaging in activity they should probably not be engaging in.
Man, that's a rough look. And it's illegal.
She said,
also.
Let's see.
Yeah.
I bet. So here are some of the. I'm just going to read you some of the quotes.
Read some of the stuff I circled. Okay.
I bet everyone thought you were my little boy toy, she allegedly told her stepson. Gross. As they finished a workout. On another occasion, she allegedly made a show of making whipped cream and then put some on her tongue and stuck it out to the minor.
We were definitely doing something close to that last week here in the studio. Not to that extent.
No. We were just enjoying
delicious whipped cream.
Yeah. The 15-year-old also told cops that in the week leading up to the alleged encounter, the woman would regularly speak to him about being horny. The day after the incident, she had the gall to call the kid saying she wished they kept having sex and that her husband had not discovered them. She also said she asked the 15-year-old to rate her sexual performance, to which he replied, hilariously, 7 out of 10.
Hey, that's a passing grade.
That's a great.
That might
response.
Be the best.
That's
thing I've
the
ever
funniest
seen.
Part about the whole.
She was mad.
And again, this is a woman taking advantage of a minor. So like, it's really not funny. As I'm laughing saying it, like it's. I mean, this woman's committing a crime.
There's pictures of her too.
Yeah, there's pictures. Yeah, look, like she was dressed up. Look, nobody's mugshot looks good. But when she's dressed up as a paramedic or nurse or whatever, she looks pretty good.
Hold on.
Like a normal human.
Is she just role-playing as a nurse, or is that her real
job?
No,
she had her license revoked after all of this.
Okay, so that's her gig.
All right, so here you go. Here's some other stuff. Sorry, I was reading from the second page. So on the night of July 26, 2024, so about a year ago, she put her two kids to bed. Then she hung out with the 15-year-old stepson on the couch. The pair reportedly hit a THC vape, played video games, and watched movies while the father was working late. At around 1 a.m., she put on a horror movie, Terrorizer 2. Then she further tempted the minor.
She loves Art the Clown. Is that the guy's name? Yeah.
Declaring the movie was boring, and she stated how horny she was because she hadn't had sex in 2 weeks. There's another detail there that I don't even want to get into.
Yeah, you can't read that.
The pair then cuddled closer with the 15-year-old first kissing Yates on the neck, and then they proceeded to make out. The woman Yates then kicked off her panties, and they engaged in intercourse when the unsuspecting father and husband came home from his blue-collar job to discover his wife and son on the couch completely naked.
I just wanted to cuddle.
Brutal. Then here's the 15-year-old ran out of the house. The father then drove his son to his grandparents' house, telling the boy he ruined his life while drinking beer on the drive over.
It's very white trash. A lot of white trash details in that story.
Shocker, it happened in Florida.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, but so I think the state finally revoked her nurse's license.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope that would be the move.
We've been talking about Jordan Hudson lately, and now there's a new...
Jordan
Hudson.
Well, I mean, yeah. Jordan.
Come on, pronounce
clock's
it right.
Ticking on that relationship. I got to breaking up in a year.
Well, you might be in trouble, Case.
I got 364 days.
There's a new photo obtained by Page Six showing the 24-year-old, who looks like she's 34, flaunting a ring, yes, on that finger.
Oh, really?
Oh, they're getting married.
He might have put a ring on it. Really?
Hey, isn't this after the date that Cake said they're going to break up within a year?
Yes. I said that yesterday. Yesterday.
She apparently was seen looking longingly at her legendary NFL coach boyfriend as he talked to another guy at their table.
What about the emails or whatever that she was retweeting or putting on Instagram? Did you read that?
No.
Seemed to indicate that Bill Belichick emailed her that, hey, I'm doing this interview. It's probably not going to go so bad. I mean, it's not going to go so great. They're probably going to bring up this stuff. So it was almost like her defense of interrupting that Bill set it up.
Bill wanted her there.
Yes.
Kind of wanted it. Maybe. Does she not seem a little overly controlling, though?
Just a little bit.
He knows how to handle himself. How many freaking Super Bowls has the guy won, Cakes? Six?
More than that.
Well, if you include like the Giants.
Well, just as the head coach.
Five, I think.
Five? How many does Tom have?
No, he has more than five, I think, as the head coach. I think it's at least
six.
Doesn't
Tom have seven? What does Tom have?
Yeah, but one with.
Right. Yes. Tom has one more. Okay. So he has six, I think.
Okay, so six.
I think, as a head guy.
Yeah.
I think he knows how to handle himself in a stupid interview.
But Cakes, bet against Cakes.
Always.
Six-time Super Bowl champ. Two times as an assistant.
He's going to marry the 34-year-old.
Hey, I got 364 days, baby. A lot can happen in a year.
That's true. Sometimes guys get married they get divorced a week later.
Yep.
Coming up next, Caps have a big one. We'll give you our keys to the game next here on the Junkies.
Time for the Junkies Keys to the Game, presented by Chinigo Mios, Relentlessly Ready, MIOScareers.com. Caps Canadiens Game 5 from Capital One Arena tonight. Key number one, power play for the Caps. Wherefore art thou? 1-for-10 in the series. That needs to get better.
Yep,
and not only just results-wise, just the way it looks. It just has been
sloppy.
Sloppy, hard for them to get the puck into the zone and get it set up and get some crisp, clean passing and getting good at shot opportunities. So the power play needs to improve. Just needs to look more aesthetically pleasing at a minimum. And some goals would be nice, too. And key number two, got to keep your head on a swivel. Tom Wilson, they're going to be gunning for you after the thunderous hit you laid on Carrier in Bell Center. So they'll be hunting for you today at Capital One Arena, but that's okay. The more time they have that big goon Jakai out on the ice, that's a positive for the Caps. Because all that guy's going to do is rack up penalty minutes. He's not going to have a positive like scoring sheet or box score impact on the game. So those are your keys to the game, brought to you by Chinigo Mios, Relentlessly Ready, MIOScareers.com.
Josh Anderson's going to be coming after Willie, too.
I'm sure he will be.
Don't let him instigate.
That's fine.
He's going to be taking his shots.
The game's going to be chippy. And look, each team got fined $25,000 by the league because of some of the shenanigans in Game 4 in the warm-up. So I'm sure the refs are going to have a tight hold on this one, calls-wise, from the very beginning of the game so that it doesn't get out of hand. Should be a fun one. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Gives me something to watch tonight.
Absolutely. Dialed in.
And I guarantee you Willie's waiting for Josh Anderson to come after him.
Definitely is.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's another bench fight.
I will not make the rookie mistake that I made during the last game where I just blindly turned the TV on and then realized about 8 to 10 minutes in that I wasn't listening to Joe B and Locker. Mm. And Locker will be back on the call tonight.
That's great.
For Monumental Sports Network.
Great.
So be sure to watch that feed instead of the horrible national feed.
Will you be wearing that exact same sweatshirt and hat to watch the game tonight?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. I don't know if you're in your Archie Bunker chair, if you get one of your jerseys, I don't know your routine.
Combo tonight, yes.
When you watch a guy, I know you're confident up 3-1, and we all should be confident. It's a great team. I still butt nervous when I watch the game.
So do I. I get
you know what I mean? Like, I watch them like it's
edge of your seat, man. It's
like
crazy.
At any moment, it could change.
Yeah.
And I think it was specific, especially in this series, there were two games, one on each side, that were butt tight, and then they just got away from them
right
late. And the score made it appear like it was a bigger win than it was. Mm-hmm. These games have been freaking close.
They've been back and forth.
When it's all said and done.
Yeah. I expect nothing different tonight.
I can't believe there's a human on this planet whose last name is spelled X-H-E-K-A-J.
Yeah, and it's pronounced Jakai.
Where is that person from?
I don't know.
They're Canadian.
Uh-huh.
But that's the weirdest spelling of a last name on the entire planet.
And Wyshynski gave us the great nugget that his nickname is Wi-Fi because it looks like the default Wi-Fi on the back of your modem or your router.
I was going to say that's like the characters you have to type in to confirm something.
Yeah, it's like a password.
To confirm
a temporary
that you're a
password.
Human, not a robot.
Yeah, it's a temporary. Look at that.
You're loading an app on your Roku.
Mm-hmm.
X-H-E-K-A-J.
Well, that's just
random.
That guy, Jack Guy, I hope he's booking a trip to Cancun or the Bahamas or someplace warm after tonight. Hopefully this Canadian season ends here tonight in D.C.
Even though he's Canadian, he's of Czech descent.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's actually should be pronounced exagerish.
Our caps discussion presented by Ace Computers. Ace Computers proudly recommends Windows 11 Pro for the U.S. military. Made in America. Check out acecomputers.com now. And when I was walking back from the commercial break, I told Drab that I'm going to be done with my coaching career, at least for a while, a respite, because my daughter's moving on. I'm not going to coach her in soccer anymore. But would this be weird? And I talk to my son about this all the time. I had such a blast coaching flag football, and he played flag football for years.
Yep.
Would it be weird for me to coach randos? If I reach out to the old league and say, hey, I'll coach randoms that aren't my kids. Five-on-five flag football.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it seems a little weird.
It's a little
if you don't have like a connection.
Yeah, it's a little. It has that vibe.
Yeah,
like all the travel soccer coaches are.
Yeah, but they're paid, right?
I guess they're paid.
They're paid. It's a job.
Yeah. Like on if the you, clubs, like you your does your daughter's strangers. Volleyball coach? Does he have a daughter on the team?
They're all paid coaches. What are you talking about?
Well, not all travel.
I know, but he's a club coach coaching teenagers.
No. They're professional coaches.
Yeah, some are.
No one's coaching their kids.
It's not really that different.
It is different. No, they're not coaching. I mean, but they're paid.
Would you
it's
be paid?
Profession.
Okay,
I mean, well, it's a, at least their side profession.
No, but I could probably do that if I found a team that was paid.
I know you have a pure heart, and it's not you don't have evil intent. The outside looking in, it looks a little child predator-ish.
But I don't really find it that different than, okay, the technicality is that your volleyball coach is paid. It's not like they're making a living off of it.
They're making up, maybe $10K. I mean, they make, money.
Yeah. Okay.
You're making zero.
All right.
Flag football.
You coached years ago?
I coached my kids, yeah. I coached
a high school team with my daughter wasn't on.
Yeah, that's a little different.
Coaching your kids, normal.
How's that different?
I only did it 1 year because there's no way I was going to do it.
Well, because he was coaching before, they kept him on and staff for another year.
I've coached before in that league.
Coaching your kids is normal. Coaching randos, abnormal.
I also think it's different coaching at the high school level because you love the coach.
But all the club coaches are... I mean, maybe they have some kids on the team, but the vast majority of club coaches, like in the soccer world, they don't have kids on the team.
Mm.
Do you want to do it?
Kind of itching to do it.
Well, then do it.
Do it. I'm saying do it. I know you're not. You don't have evil intent. I'm just saying the look. It ain't a great look because you're not paid, and you're just a rando.
Yeah, just helping out some boys win another chip.
The parents are gonna come and drop their kids off the first time. They're gonna be like, "Where's your kid?" And he's gonna be like,
"He's in college.
My kid's not playing." They're like, "I don't know if I want my kid play for you."
Yeah,
but I don't really know you.
In all likelihood, your kids played for high school coaches that didn't have kids on the team.
Yeah, but that's their jobs. Those are jobs.
It's different.
It's just different than
high school coaches get paid like $2,000.
Yeah. No, but they're on staff. I know what they get paid.
Yeah.
But they're on staff.
They're usually teachers.
Employees.
They've been fingerprinted. Yeah. They've gone through
randos.
The whole thing.
All right, got to get out of here for Bish, Cake, CB, I'm JP. B. Mitch and Finley coming up next here on The Fan.